All right, let's get to our first sermon series of the new year. It is tied to our theme of developing a deeper awareness of God. And to begin that journey, we need to acknowledge this one fundamental fact. There is a God. He is alive. In Him we live. And we survive. The song that we are all very familiar with. And it points us not only to the existence of our God, but to His creation. God's creation calls for attention. Everywhere we look, we see the fingerprints of our God. I believe the song, "Our God, He is Alive," may have been inspired by Paul's words in Acts chapter 17. Paul is standing on Mars Hill. He is surrounded by temples and altars to all kinds of gods. And he notices that there is an altar with the inscription "to the unknown God." Paul was good at looking for opportunities, open doors to talk to people about Jesus and Yahweh. So he uses this opportunity to introduce the people of Athens to Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth. In Acts chapter 17, it says in verse 26, "From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they should live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. And since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. We serve a living God, a God that has created the world that we live in. Creation is a sign that points us to this living God. Creation is a revelation to us through God's created world, and it offers us the opportunity to encounter our Creator. Let me ask you, when is the first time you remember encountering God? Not the first time you heard of Him, or the first time you were taught about Him. But what is the first time you actually encountered God? You felt His presence and you knew that He was there. I can remember my first encounter. I loved the summers growing up in Jackson County, West Virginia. My mom and dad lived in the very small town of Ravenswood, West Virginia. Had one stoplight, no McDonald's. And if you knew one person, you knew them all. But I enjoyed mostly getting away from city life and spending the summers on my grandparents' farm. When I was growing up, especially at a very young age, they kept a small herd of cattle on the farm, and every summer it was the job of the family to gather and to cut the hay. They didn't have a baler, so they would rake it, and then we would take pitchforks and throw it into the back of the truck or onto the wagon, and then we would drive it to the barn, and then we would throw it up into the loft. But there was a field just adjacent to my grandparents' house, small field, but they still would plant and harvest hay there. I can remember my grandfather on one Sunday afternoon cutting that hay and just letting it fall. He'd rake it the next day. And I'd been out all afternoon following my grandfather around, sitting on the tractor, riding the tractor, even driving the tractor, scaring the daylights out of my grandfather. But then I would get bored and wander off into the woods with my Daisy BB gun. And I can remember finding myself in that field as darkness began to fall on the farm, and just laying there in the fresh cut hay. Few things smell as sweet. And just staring up at the sky. And it was in that moment, I was probably 10, 11, maybe 12. It was the first time in my life where I can actually remember being overwhelmed by the presence and the power of God. I'd heard sermons, sat in Bible classes. My family were all believers, and we'd all had conversations. He was a part of our regular life. But there is that moment in your life where His presence becomes real. It becomes tangible. You can feel it in your bones. On that day, as I watched the sunset and the moon appear in the sky and all of the stars, the presence of God was palpable, and the love I felt for Him was profound. And that was the first time I was aware that my soul was being fed by the beauty of God's creation. What a gift. I cannot count the number of times since that day, when God has spoken to me through His creation. The sense of awe I felt for God, the magnificence of His creation, beholding His power, His glory, and His majesty. The beauty of God's world overwhelmed me. And since that day, it has become a source of nourishment for my soul. I hope that you too have had an experience like that, because it was thrilling. It was a moment that I will never forget. And from time to time, as often as I can, I like to step out into God's creation and just behold His glory. Because Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaim His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet, their voices go throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Creation is like a wordless book, constantly telling us about our God. Everywhere we look, God is there. Have you had a moment like that? If not, I hope you have a moment like that in the next several minutes. I have a video that I want to show you that I hope will capture your heart and allow you to feel the presence of God within the world that we live.
I have felt the wind blow, whispering your name. I have seen your tears fall when I watch the rain. And how could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea? Gazing at a bird in flight, soaring through the air, lying down beneath the stars, I feel your presence there.
I love to stand at ocean shore and feel the thundering breakers roar. Walk through golden fields of grain, neath endless blue horizons
to a river run, watering the earth, fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea.
If I love to stand at ocean shore and feel the thundering breakers roar, to walk through golden fields of grain, deep endless horizons spread. I believe.
Bible starts with an assumption. It does not argue for the existence of God. It doesn't begin by even discussing it. It just simply states it. In the beginning, God. Why is that? Well, it's because the existence of God is self-evident. The world that we live in exists. The fact that there is a creation demands one reasonable conclusion: that there is a God. Paul, in the book of Romans, would open his book with these words. It says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things that are made." Creation serves as a signpost, pointing us to our Creator. The Bible does not argue for His existence. It simply tells us that He is there. And then He lets His creation do all the talking. Because everything we see, and by the way, even the things that we can't see, are witnesses to God's divine power and nature. N.T. Wright, in his book, Simply Christian, uses this illustration. He says, imagine being in a lonely house out in the country, away from street lights, and late on one wintry evening, the power goes off. You can relate to that, right? Leaving everything blacked out for miles around. You remember having left a box of matches on the coffee table, and you grope around to find them. Striking one match after another, you find your way to the pantry shelf that holds an assortment of candles. The candle you light keeps you going while you hunt around for a flashlight. All that makes sense, he says. Matches, candles, and flashlights are things that we can use to help us see in the dark. But what makes no sense is when at last it's early morning and we go out into the sunlight, that we hold up a candle, a match, or a flashlight and point it to the sun to prove that it exists. It's just there. A great many arguments about God, he says, God's existence, God's nature, God's actions in the world, he says, run the risk of being like pointing a flashlight toward the sky to see if the sun is shining. There's no reason to do that. It's self-evident. It is there. Creation points us to our Creator. It reminds us that He is there. The question is, how will we respond? We have a choice. Will we allow creation to overwhelm us with God's greatness? Overwhelm us with His beauty, His power, His imagination? How much time do we spend out in the world that God created and allow it to speak to us? We get so busy in life, places to go, things to do, that every day we rush right by God's creation without giving it a second thought. And yet the psalmist has told us that his creation is a witness to his glory, and that through his creation, he is teaching us something. God is there, and he is not silent. And he speaks to us through a manifold number of voices. So let me offer you a few suggestions on how to respond to God's creation. Number one, notice. Slow down. The old cliche, stop and smell the roses. Let's do that. Open our eyes to the heart of creation. Look at the majesty of the mountains. Be taken away by the breadth and the beauty of God's creation. Listen, because the voices that are speaking through his creation are rich. When I remember to open myself up to creation, God communes with me. He speaks to me. He reaches out to me, and he teaches me. Number two, be still. Stop. Sit. Listen. See. Maybe you like to sketch. I don't draw. I can't draw a stick figure without giving it scoliosis. But I can listen. If you like to sketch, find a flower. Convince a squirrel to sit still long enough so that you can draw him. If you don't do that, take your phone out. Find something that captures your imagination and speaks to you of God. Take a photo of it. Or just sit there and use your mind's eye to memorize what God is up to in that place. Something else that you can do is be active in creation. Whether it's walking or running or cycling or getting in a kayak, be intentional about noticing God's presence. Celebrate the creation with your body and the way that it moves. The very fact that it moves and is able to give you the strength and the power to move through God's creation. And here's the last thing. Allow God's creation to move you to awe. Allow it to overwhelm your mind and your soul, and then respond the same way that the beings of heaven respond. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. We get a scene of heavenly worship. John paints a picture for us of these living creatures standing around God's throne, and they're singing without ceasing. And one of the songs that they sing day and night without ceasing is, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down, the one who is seated on the throne, and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "Because you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Let God's creation move you to worship. Let it fill your heart with joy. And let it capture your soul. So let's follow the lead of these living creatures Let us stand and let us sing.